Okay, so why don't we get started? Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephanie Cooper. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for Policy and Planning at MassDEP. And obviously, usually Commissioner Suberg chairs these calls, but he is out unexpectedly this week due to a personal matter. So he will be back with us next month, but I am sort of pinch hitting for him in the meantime, and I'm glad to have the chance to be with you all today. We have a number of DEP staff from around the state who are on the call. We have our Assistant Commissioner Kathy Baskin, who helps to organize these calls. We also have Leldon Langley here, who oversees our wastewater program as well as watershed planning. And Mary Beth Chubb and John Murphy are on as well. You're going to hear from Kristen Diveris later. And as I said, there are many other staff from the regions too. So, you know, we really value these opportunities to come together with all of you and, you know, hear what's going on, share information, and just basically have a forum to come together. We know that, you know, these are anxious times for everyone and certainly for this industry as we, you know, as we go through this spike in COVID cases that we're seeing. So it's important for us to come together and support the work and keep this important industry going. So with that, we do have, you know, as usual, these calls are recorded, as I think people know, but I wanna be sure that we're clear about that. And we do post the recordings afterwards on our website, so the information is available. We will go through our typical program. We have representatives here from EPA this morning, so we'll hear from them in a minute. We have our staff have a couple of updates. I have some updates, and then we had Mickey Nowak had shared some questions, and we have some answers to go through those questions, and then we'll have a chance to discuss any questions or issues that may be on people's minds this morning. So with that, I think I would, Denny Dart, if you are ready with your update, I would invite you to unmute yourself, and if you need a minute, I can go ahead and go through some of my updates. But I'll pause for a moment to see if Denny is here. Oh, there's Denny. Great.
Here I am. Hi. Hopefully everybody can hear me just fine.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. Excellent. I finally figured out how to use Zoom, and it's great. So I wanted to share that there have been questions at past meetings about the Ohio project, where the wastewater operators in Ohio were testing their effluent for SARS-CoV-2 RNA. And so I was able to get a couple of PowerPoint presentations related to that, which I provided to Kathy Baskin, who hopefully will be able to put them up on the website. I also wanted to share with everybody some updates from the CDC and HHS. I'm able to participate in monthly calls with these two federal agencies, and they're getting involved now in wastewater treatment plant testing for the COVID RNA, and there are opportunities to participate at no cost. So CDC, first of all, is starting a community of practice for wastewater operators, which is related to COVID-19. It covers all aspects of being safe as well as how to do this kind of sampling. There's been a similar community of practice in place for a few months for laboratories. So I will post in the chat, or maybe Kathy will, a website for you to learn more about that, and as well as an email that you can send to the CDC if you want to get involved in that community of practice. Health Services recently issued a contract to do wastewater surveillance. The contract went to Aqua Vita, which is a small company that spun off from Arizona State University. And the company is going to analyze the SARS-CoV-2 RNA samples from POTWs across the country, and then they're going to push the results of that sampling back to the state health departments. And they're going to fund all of the procurement, testing, shipping, and everything of these wastewater samples. They're looking for both large and small communities nationwide. The first phase is going to be soon, which over the next 6 weeks, where they're hoping to get wastewater samples from 100 treatment plants serving 10% of the U.S. population. And then the hope is to expand this effort in January to treatment plants in up to 42 states with at least 30% of the population covered. So they are looking for participants. And if you're interested, I'll put in the chat the contact name. It's Adam Gushgari of Aqua Vitas. And that's it for myself. There was a question that came up regarding EPA's enforcement policy, and I'm going to hand it over to Jeff Kopp, who can answer that question for you.
Thanks, Denny. The question was, if you recall, back in the spring, EPA's Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance issued a policy related to COVID-19 and the exercise of enforcement discretion for facilities that weren't able to, do the monitoring reporting due to COVID-19. The question was, in light of the recent surge in COVID-19 again, is OECA planning on reinstituting the policy or something similar? And I'll say I'm on a lot of monthly calls that OECA has, particularly with respect to the Water Enforcement Division. I haven't heard them mention anything about reinstituting the policy, so I wouldn't expect them to formally bring something like that back. I think for the most part, this administration's on the way out, and I don't expect to see that. But if there are issues that come up related to monitoring or reporting obligations that are, potentially going to be interrupted again due to COVID-19, I think I'd encourage everyone to just contact Doug Koopman here at EPA in the region, and I think Kathy can put his contact information in the chat. Doug was sort of the point of contact for COVID-related issues over the spring and summer, and he'll just talk with you about your situation. I think, many of you who submit DMRs are familiar with the no discharge codes that can be entered. And although the specific one for COVID-19, which was code Z, is gone, it sort of went away when that policy went away, we think there are other ways of dealing with that depending upon your situation. So I would just encourage you to contact Doug Koopman if something comes up, and we'll certainly talk through it with you. And I think that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Denny, and thank you, Jeff. It's all really helpful, helpful information and some good resources for people to take advantage of. So I have a few updates that I will share, and then I'm going to turn to John Murphy for updates on operator training and licensing. One thing picking up on wastewater surveillance that Denny was talking about is I did want to share with folks, if they weren't already aware, that our Massachusetts Department of Public Health has recently awarded two contracts for wastewater surveillance. So one is with BioBot to doing testing in the MWRA system. And I think people know, and I think MWRA representatives have spoken about on these calls in the past, the work that MWRA is doing with BioBot. And this is in addition to that. We don't have information yet about the sampling locations or exactly how it's going to work. We're going to stay in touch with our colleagues at DPH and we'll share information with all of you. This is a recently awarded contract. And then the second contract has been awarded to CDM Smith. And that is an interesting one. They're going to be focusing on doing monitoring in smaller systems. And the goal is to develop a protocol that could be transferable. And they're going to be working in Revere. And as I understand it, they're going to be doing sort of auto sampling at a handful of locations. And then, the locations were selected based on density, case prevalence, wastewater flow, and system configuration. And so they sort of detect a signal which tells them when they need to deploy a mobile unit to collect information. So this is new and just getting underway, but it's very interesting. And we're sort of, keenly tuned in to find out what the results will be, and we'll want to be sharing them with this group. I will pause in case there's anyone from MWRA who wants to say anything more about the authority's work with BioBot. You can feel free to do that or do it later if you'd like to. And we know the MWRA's data, BioBot data, is available online, and we have the link for that, which we can share. I suspect folks may already be aware of that. The other thing I know is a big issue on everybody's mind, or two big issues which are related as we get through this pandemic, is being able to have reliable testing for employees, and then getting ready for vaccinations and trying to get toward the front of the line as critical infrastructure workers. So on testing, we've heard that people have been experiencing you know, delays in getting results and sometimes having long lines at testing sites. And of course, we've all seen that on the news too, particularly going into the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, many of those sites were overwhelmed. And so the question was about whether there could be priority testing for wastewater workers. And that's not something that we, you know, we have access to at this time. We certainly have raised the issue to our command center and, you know, raised so that they're aware of the issues you're experiencing, which we know then affect your day-to-day operations. We can share, we have a couple of links to testing sites. So the state runs some testing sites called Stop the Spread in communities that have been particularly, you know, hard hit by COVID. And then there was also sort of a collection of every known testing site in the state. And certainly the Stop the Spread sites have been very busy, but there are, you know, there is a drive-through site in Revere that the state sponsors where you can make an appointment and that's a reliable place to go, I'm told. But anyway, that's what we know about testing right now. And we continue to advocate on your behalf and make the case for, you know, the need to have rapid and easily available testing. The second thing is on the vaccine. We know that that's on everybody's mind too, sort of the light at the end of the tunnel that we're all waiting for. And as the state develops its plans for deploying a vaccine, again, we are advocating for drinking water and wastewater operators and staff to be able to, you know, should be considered critical infrastructure employees and therefore be on the first waves of receiving the vaccine. So we don't have any specific information about that at this time, but we want you to know that we're advocating for you. We also know many other organizations are advocating too nationally. The American Water Works Association, I'm told, is planning to write to FEMA to ask that that you know this industry be prioritized for the vaccine. So I suspect there will be a lot more specifics about that in the coming days. I feel like every time I pick up my phone, there's a new alert about a COVID vaccine, which is good. This is good progress. So we're all going to be following it closely. Let's see. That may be everything I have. In terms of, you know, stimulus and financial relief, I think, you know, we all know, and I think Jeff just alluded to it, that one federal administration is ending, another one is beginning, and it doesn't appear that Congress will be doing much with stimulus decisions until the new year, but we do continue to follow that and advocate on your behalf as well. So with that, I think I will pause and see if John Murphy has an update on operator training and licensing for the groups. Hi, John.
Thanks, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Just a brief update from the Board of Certification. All the exam sites are up and running following COVID protocols. There haven't been any issues with scheduling or taking the exam. If anyone is running into any sort of issues with exam sites, please just notify me. On the training front, those looking for exam prep courses, the NUIPIC MWAT courses are going to be starting in late February, a la carte, 3-hour modules, the advanced municipal, advanced industrial and basic municipal are going to be starting in late February. So keep an eye out for those if you have staff who are looking for exam prep courses. The NUIA annual conference is going to happen at the end of January, first week of February, and that is going to be done virtually. So another good opportunity to receive some training contact hours, as well as many TCH and technical courses being offered through EPA, Rural Water. So there's lots of training opportunity out there at low to no cost. So there's a lot of good opportunity, and make sure you keep getting your hours throughout the cycle, as 20 TCHs are going to be required December 31st, 2021. We have seen some facilities starting to go to their COVID staffing plans, similar to what was done in April and May. If that is the case, reach out to your regional contact first, go over with them the staffing plan, and then if there's any emergency certification or provisional certification needs, please just reach out to me after that. The board continues to meet. We have a temporary call scheduled for December 4th, so this Friday, to issue some emergency certifications that have come in. And we're going to continue holding our every other month board meeting December 16th. So anything that needs to be approved by the board, please try to get it to me over the next week or so, and we will get that processed at the December 16th meeting. That's it from the Board of Certification. Thank you.
That's really helpful. Thank you very much, John. And so next, I'm going to see if Kristen Divers is available to talk to us about our current round of distribution of cloth masks. And we do want to recognize and thank our colleagues in New Hampshire, and particularly Tom O'Donovan, who made this extra inventory available to us. And it ends up being, I think, good timing to be distributing this extra PPE at this time. So Kristen, I'll let you go ahead and tell folks where we are with that.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. When we last met in November, DEP was still arranging for that transport of the cloth masks from New Hampshire from two different locations, and that was 20,000 masks that were coming from New Hampshire, and also securing our points of distribution locations across the state, or our pods. So we have since then distributed those 20,000 masks, a little over 20,000, to 8 of the 10 pods. That was performed November 10th through the 12th, and two additional pods are to make up our 10 picked up their mask allotment at pod 8. The pods then started their distribution operations almost immediately, some beginning on as early as the 12th through the 23rd. So at this point, we have nearly 16,000 masks, 15,920 that have been distributed to 123 systems across the state. That currently leaves us at 41 systems that are still needing to pick up their masks from various pods, probably a little bit less since those are occurring this week as well. We'll update those numbers every Friday. I do want to thank the pods. I can see Sherry on the Zoom call. So I do want to thank, you know, each individual pod for just the outstanding job that they've done moving these masks into operators' hands so quickly. And those include the Greenfield DPW, Springfield Water and Sewer Commission, the Leominster DPW, Franklin DPW, the Greater Lawrence Sanitary District, Burlington DPW, Boston Water and Sewer Commission, Norton Water and Sewer Department, the Fall River Water Department, and the Barnstable DPW. Those were our 10 main pods. And then I can't forget that we also had some auxiliary distributors, which included Brewster Water Department and Edgartown Water Department as well for the some of those areas on the outskirts, the Outer Cape. And then we also worked with, or we're working with Mass Rural Water Association and RCAP Solutions to plan any additional deliveries that might be necessary. So at this point, if you are one of those systems that has not picked up your masks, I'm going to ask that you please try to make a plan to do so soon. And if you're having any difficulty with that pickup, please let your pod know or contact me so we can try to accommodate you with a potential delivery. And then lastly, I'll just say if you somehow miss the opportunity to request masks, you're finding that you need additional masks, or you just never made the request to begin with, we did provide surplus masks to each of the pods to accommodate for any additional need that may come up, knowing that we were moving into a surge. So the opportunity still exists for you to obtain masks. So I just encourage you, if you do need them, reach out directly to me, and I can put my, or I'm sure Kathy is putting my information in the chat, and we'll get you some masks. And that's it from me, Stephanie.
Great, thank you, Kristen. And really just wanna underscore the thanks to all of the partners who helped with this. This was kind of an all hands on deck effort. And in fact, it's the third version of that. So we really appreciate people's continued help. And I wanna recognize Kristen, and I know she'll say she's part of a team. So it's Kristen and the DEP team who have figured out this distribution and logistics operation. It's been really successful. So we appreciate everybody's efforts, and we hope that the equipment and the masks are helpful.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to turn to the Q&A. As I'm looking here at the list, I feel like in the course of our conversation here, we've answered a lot of the questions. You know, John Murphy in his remarks referred to split shifts for staffing, and if people are needing to make changes there, to please reach out to our regional offices, to your contacts there. We're ready to work with you on that, and we do want to hear about what your issues are. We talked about testing. You know, there was a question about are there state funds available to conduct testing for essential employees, and not at this time, but that's something that we have raised in our advocacy for you. We talked about, you know, testing sites. We talked about plans for the vaccine. There's a question about, if there are utility payment relief programs planned at the state level, request to have water and wastewater utilities be included in those programs. And absolutely, we wholeheartedly support that request. And we have raised that to the statewide command center. And we have, the commissioner has been very vocal on your behalf, talking about the revenue shortfalls and what that means for your operations. So we will continue to stay in touch with the command center and raise these issues. We don't know of any such these type of programs right now, but I think it's important to keep that conversation going. And I believe that goes through the questions that we've received. And I don't know, Kathy, if you've received anything else or if there's anything that's come up in the chat that we should discuss. And if not, we'll open it up to see if people have issues they want to raise right now.
Stephanie, I haven't seen any questions come up through the chat. And the only emails I've received are emails requesting copies of the PowerPoints from Ohio. So I guess this is a good time to open it up.
Sure. Yep. So if people have questions or issues on your mind, feel free to unmute yourself and let us know. Let us know who you are and what you'd like to talk about.
Hi, how's it going? This is Paul Furman from the city of Fall River.
Paul, you're coming in a little bit garbled. I hear from city of Fall River. Can you speak again? Let's make sure we can hear you.
Yeah, Paul Furman from the city of Fall River.
Okay.
Was that better?
That a little bit better. Yeah, a little bit better. It may just be garbled for me too, but I can make it out.
Okay. So I received an email. I guess DPH is considering certain types of employees exempt from isolation or quarantine restrictions as related to work duties if they come within close contact of an infected person. From my understanding, by DPH's regulations, and I got this through our local health department, anybody that's been in close contact, closer than 6 feet, with or without a mask, with somebody that tested positive, is supposed to be isolated for a 14-day period. I guess health department employees, healthcare workers, and emergency responders are exempt from that isolation or quarantine qualification. I was told that I brought it up with my local health department on whether water and wastewater employees or licensed operators would also be exempt from that. The response that they got back from DPH is that they would not be exempt from an isolation. I don't know if there's any advocacy. Again, it's not an issue that we're having right now, but I just always get concerned, if somebody in my plant has it, then, potentially everybody could be isolated as per se by the state, and then it becomes an issue. I'm sure other staffing places, other facilities could be in the same point. We all try to limit our interaction between different shifts and everything, but there's always that possibility. I don't know if there's anything that can be done to try to get us water and wastewater employees, looked at, on a case-by-case basis or an emergency situation, just in case that does arise for anybody.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I'll see if I can just summarize just to make sure that everybody got it. So what Paul was talking about was that you're hearing through his local health department that per DPH regulations, certain employees are exempt from isolation and quarantine rules if they've been thought to have been exposed to a person that's infected with COVID. And I heard you mention, you know, emergency responders, health department, and healthcare employees. And I've heard that before as well. And the idea that there, I don't know if they are case by case determinations that are made, I'm not sure, but the notion of some sort of exemption and what you're describing, Paul, is sort of like a worst case scenario in a plant, right? Is that you have, someone become infected and then you have to isolate and you don't have enough people to run the operation. So we can, I'm not wholly familiar with, you know, the ins and outs of how of that rule, but we can raise that with DPH and ask, you know, for essential employees and critical operations like wastewater, could there be, if on a case by case, an emergency situation arises, is there a process through which that could be evaluated, and at least to get that kind of on their radar now, if it's not already, so that if we do experience that worst case scenario, we have a way to try to work through it. So we will raise that and see if we can get more information on that either for next call or if we get information in between, we'll share that with this group. It's a good question. And obviously it's something we hope would not come to pass, but it's better to be prepared and think about these scenarios now. So we'll look into that one. Thank you.
Yeah, again, like you said, it's a worst case scenario. But yeah, I think it's rather than being reactive to having to deal with the situation after it happens, it might be better to have some, you know, guidance from them.
Right, and helpful to know too if DPH has been evaluating these kind of situations in other industries, you know, or even how does it play out in healthcare? So we can try to get some more information about that. Okay. Are there other issues or questions on people's minds that anyone would like to raise? If you do, feel free to unmute yourself and speak up. We'll give it a minute. I will just say, I think if I didn't say this at the beginning, we're now on a monthly schedule with these calls. So our next call would be Wednesday, January 6th at 9 a.m. And Commissioner Suberg will be back for that call. I don't see or hear anybody. Kathy, do you see anything? I think I see somebody lighting up. Someone have a question or comment Hi. They'd like to make?
Can you hear me? This is Val Peter, Weston & Sampson down on the Cape.
Yes, Val, hear you loud and clear.
Oh, great. I haven't participated in these in quite some time, shame on me. But what's the latest as far as the virus being in sewers? In the wastewater, and as far as us going out there to jet wash the collection system, are we still trying to stay away from doing that or what?
I might let Leldon or Kathy comment on that. Jet washing that's beyond my expertise, I'll just be honest with you. So I might let them talk about how, you know, what procedures we're recommending or not recommending at this time.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's great to speak with you again. It's Kathy. So what I would suggest is if you have any site-specific concerns to be in touch with Leldon or me or one of the regions. And, you know, I know we have coordinated with you folks in the past during the pandemic on site-specific issues. So that would be what I would suggest, you know, before you go and do something that you feel uncomfortable doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, when you go to jet wash, you tend to get a mist coming back at you. And, you know, I just don't want to put anybody in jeopardy. But on the other hand, there are people that are flushing wipes and all that down there, and I'm concerned about backups. So. Whatever insight you guys could give us would be great.
And I'll say I am not the expert on this at all. So, but I know that aerosolized wastewater is definitely a concern right now.
Okay.
So, you know, you know, if you want to speak with the regions about the particulars about, you know, any specific system, feel free to do that. Or if you want to speak more broadly, you can, you know, come speak to Leldon or me.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Guys, have a good day.
Okay, you too.
And I would just note too, we do have in our Q&A, we have some information about our Office of Research and Standards and DPH's sort of opinions about, you know, the COVID, the virus in wastewater and then appropriate PPE and precautions to take as a result. But Kathy's right that the specific situation should be evaluated and we're happy to get the right person to help do that.
That's right. Go ahead, Val.
I just want to thank you guys. I appreciate it. What's the link that I can gain access to?
I'll send you you've sent an email after the last time. I'll send you an email back if that's what you're looking for. That will have the link to the Q&A. Okay. Specifically what Stephanie was referring to, which is a good reminder for everybody, is that while the CDC recommends a face mask or a face shield when working with aerosolized wastewater, we're recommending both. Our Office of Research and Standards is recommending both a mask and a shield.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
And Mary Beth Chubb just put the a link to the FAQ in the chat. And I should say too, some of the questions and answers that we've gone over during our discussion today, all that information is updated on the FAQs. And we, now that FAQ document has become quite lengthy, so our practice is to highlight in yellow new information just to make it easier for people to see where the updates are. So that information's on our website, and we do have the link in the chat.
I'm not on.
We'll send it to you.
I'm just on the phone. We'll send it to you.
Val, I'll send you the email. And anybody else who's on the phone who wants an email with information, feel free to send it. It's kathleen.baskin@mass.gov.
Great. Thank you.
My contact info is also now in the chat.
Oh, go ahead, Leldon. Go ahead.
My contact info is also in the chat, should you need to reach me.
Good. Okay. All right. Are there other questions, comments, or thoughts this morning? Yes.
Hi, William Branton, Scituate Wastewater. A number of my staff have expressed interest in antibody testing. I know we're preparing for the vaccine rollout. There's just been a lot of concern expressed on over the vaccine, some confusion there, and a desire to be tested for antibodies so that we don't unduly take up the precious vaccine stock when that becomes available. Do we know if there'll be any additional antibody testing offerings, either federal or state level, coming up in the winter or spring?
I don't think we've heard anything about that. I know, you know, some of these testing sites, you can opt to get both a COVID test and an antibody test. And I don't know, but I would suspect that the CDC is recommending that people get the vaccine anyway, but I'm not positive about that, but I do take your point that people are trying to get a sense of their own personal status or their own risk. And I know that some of the testing sites do offer the antibody testing, but I haven't heard of any particular sort of targeted or expanded effort. But that's a good question. So we'll ask that as well and see what we can find out and share any information that we learn.
Thank you.
Anybody else have questions or thoughts? Okay, not hearing any. We will move to wrap up, but you know that we're available. You've got several of our emails in the chat today, and you know where to reach us. So if issues come up in the coming weeks, everybody has their regional contacts, and you can also contact us in Boston. As we get, you know, more resources or information, we'll share it through Mickey Nowak and others if we get information that's timely before the next call. But otherwise, we will see everybody on January 6th, 2021, 9 a.m. and wish everybody a safe and healthy few weeks as we go into the holidays here. So thank you for all the good work that you do. Take care, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you.